these days I try and figure out how lazy I can be and still get everything I need done. It's a weird concept, but it's really about, you know, really slowing down.
You are listening to the Luminary Business Podcast, the podcast where passionate entrepreneurs and executives just like you discover how to become more prominent and influential and build a profitable business that truly matters. Join me, Todd Staples, as I unlock the foundational skills, habits, and mindset needed to produce optimal personal and business results. Hello and welcome to the show. I am your host, Todd Staples. My mission is to help you develop the critical skills and habits needed to unlock your true potential, grow your business, and create a life you love. Today is the second interview of a two-part series with my good friend and guest, Justin Lofton, CEO of SyncSumo. SyncSumo is a tool that helps you rapidly grow your business using Facebook lead ads and automatically synchronizing those custom audiences with Facebook with any tool you happen to be using, such as Infusionsoft, ActiveCampaign, MailChimp, and a dozen or so other tools. In the first part, Justin and I talked about a bunch of things regarding what his business does in the industry he's in social media and Facebook advertising. We talked about how people are distracted and how important it is these days to hit them where they're at, find those people on their mobile phone, on Facebook, and get the right ad in front of them at the right time. We talked about how the new lead ads on Facebook make it really easy for a customer to engage with an advertiser and get more information or even go right to a product page to buy it. And SyncSumo makes it really easy for that advertiser to capture that lead and effectively follow up, giving them an opportunity to provide more value and really just deliver value to their customers in a new way, in a faster way than ever possible before. So if you didn't listen to that recording yet, I highly recommend you go back and listen to it. And also, Justin, there's a coupon they can use for that as well, right? If they go back and sign up
for
SyncSumo.
Yeah, I put together a coupon code, Todd20, that'll allow you to get 20% off for life for SyncSumo. You could start with our free forever account and just apply the coupon when you go ahead and sign up for the free forever account when you go to upgrade for a paid account, which has additional features and additional ability to capture leads and sync more contacts.
Awesome.
You'll be able to get that discount.
All right, perfect, perfect. So you can't lose, free forever account. That's a good way to start. You can get that all in the show notes or just go to SyncSumo.com and enter that coupon code Todd20. So, okay, let's jump into part two. So my job today, I'm going to try to uncover and decode Justin sort of on a personal level, not just business. I want to look at the underlying values, beliefs, and habits that you have that you feel are really responsible for the success you've had in your business and allowed you to create a pretty awesome life doing things that you love. So this is my favorite part of the show because I kind of get to get in your head and see what makes you tick a little bit.
Scary. That's scary.
Yeah, I know. And I like to start the conversation with this quote. I think this is a great quote. It's from the book Winner's Edge. And the quote says, "Winners don't do different things. They do things differently." And I don't want you to answer that quite yet, but I do want you to kind of plant that in your brain because we're going to circle back around to that. So I want you to be thinking what you do differently, not so much the things that are different, but what the things you do, how you do them differently than most people that has allowed you to do a better job. So before we get into that, I always like to start, if you can just describe, you know, what does a typical day look like? What does it look like for, you know, if someone were to step in your shoes, what does a day look like for you?
Yeah, well, you know, I typically I'm wake up excited to help others. It's one of the things that I found, like, you know, in my journey of really finding out what it is that drives me, you know, early on as an entrepreneur, you sort of, you know, money or the ability to have things sort of equaled success, or, you know, ability to buy, you know, material products and things for ourselves to have a higher quality of life. All that stuff is great. But in my journey, I found that, you know, I really wasn't satisfied with that. So I sort of found that, you know, helping others at the end of the day is what fulfills me. And certainly we need to make money in that process. But, you know, I wake up every day excited to have that opportunity to help others and just blessed that I have the ability to wake up and do that. You know, we overlook all the amazing things that we have around us that we take for granted every day. And I try and appreciate those things each morning when I wake up. And I tend to go to the gym early, usually doing some cardio or something, get the body moving. I tend to have a much more productive day when I exercise in the morning, sort of, you know, strong body, strong mind. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. I do try and get, you know, even if it's getting out and just going for a walk or doing a hike or hitting the gym, I do get to the gym quite a bit in the morning. So
Do you, I'm going to just go back just a segment because I like what you said about appreciating things in people. Do you have anything that's like a specific ritual? Do you have a journal? Do you write down what you are appreciative for in the morning? I know some people do that. I'm actually doing that with a pretty cool journal I have called the Self Journal right now.
Sure.
And every mm-hmm. morning I write down three, before I start my day, I write down three things that I'm thankful for. Is there anything you do that's really structured around that, or is it just sort of so ingrained in what you do that it's just natural for you now?
It is very ingrained. I do believe that writing things down, especially, you know, if you're starting to sort of move in a direction where it isn't ingrained for you yet, you need to, you feel like, you know, you need to sort of take a step back in what you're doing in life and sort of start to appreciate the things that are around you. But what I found is a lot of times I've been consuming self-help stuff for probably 2 decades, and one of the things that I found is like some of the stuff that they teach you is amazing and it makes you feel good, but it's tough to, you know, sort of keep it as habit over time. And so, you know, one of the things for me is just appreciating the breath, you know, the fact that you can take a breath, that in and of itself is the core focus of the appreciation, and everything after that added on to that. So that for me is sort of the cornerstone of my gratitude. And
so you really start with yourself. Just the fact that you're alive and breathing.
Yeah. And then the rest is, you know, it's again, like you're saying, it's ingrained at this point. So I don't feel that I need to, you know, write down things to fully appreciate them.
Before it was ingrained, did you have anything that really helped you develop that habit? Did you write it down? Did you start, you know, doing a journal, or did you talk to anyone about, you know, what you're thankful for, or consciously thank someone every day or anything like that? That's really specific.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely did have some things that I wrote down many years ago that I sort of reread every day. And it was from, you know, the book Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, so there were things that I did do that I, you know, read, and I continue to do that more in a non-functional manner these days. But, and I think it's important for others to consider that, you know, being more structured and writing things down to like get that habit. Because I think for me, what it was is just, you know, going through so much self-help stuff and really just being a sponge to that kind of information eventually just became so ingrained that I just kind of lived it. That's what I do today. And so I think, you know, for others, it may be different in that a part of me on the journey all along. So it kind of came easier than, you know, needing to do that or felt the need to do that.
Got it. That's neat. So what is, do you start early? Are you an early bird, late riser? When do you go to the gym?
Yeah, typically I'm up by 7, at the gym by 8, you know, in the office 9:30 at the latest. And, you know, it's really about sort of getting in execution mode after the gym and, you know, ensuring that the balls that already have roll and you're continuing to move and, you know, looking for the next wave of things that need to get ready in the businesses that I maintain and operate. So,
You said being a sponge or consuming a lot of information. I think there's some controversy around that topic because where on one hand, I agree, it's great to just learn as much as you can and listen and absorb and consume, but you can, sure. You know, just like a sponge, you can be full of water and nothing else can come in. Right?
So, you got it. Yeah.
So how do you wring yourself out? How do you squeeze a little bit of that water? How do you, like, when do you know to shift from consuming to action?
It's a good one because these days, you know, humans tend to consume a ton of information, but, you know, rarely take action on the information that they're consuming. And there, you know, you can get in the cycle of consumption of information, yet, you know, never really applying it to your life. You know, trying to help others in the process of gaining all this new knowledge, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for me, I found that you sort of go in phases. There was years that I consumed and consumed and consumed, and certainly I started to apply some of the things, and, you know, seeds were planted, and the repetitiveness of just consuming more stuff or going back to old stuff that was great, you know, which I did a lot of too, Tony Robbins and Robert Kiyosaki and all those guys, I mean, you know, Deepak Chopra. I mean, it's endless, the list of guys that I followed both in business and personal development. And, but then you get to a point where you're like, I already have everything I need. You sort of focus more on action and applying the stuff that you already, you know, have knowledge about. And then you get into a new phase where you're like, I feel that I've mastered that part of me, or at least I've gotten to a place where I want more. I want to go to the next level. I want to, you know, yeah. explore and discover this world or myself in a deeper way. And, you know, so a new phase of information absorption starts. I think, you know, the way that I say it now is really about being a student of life. Mm-hmm. And so you never really stop learning. There's certainly phases that you go through where you have to, you know, sort of absorb new information and then apply it to your life or push it aside. I don't watch the news. I don't get caught up in politics. Because those are things that either I don't enjoy or I just can't control them. I really focus on things and information. You know, like I'll keep up with, you know, industry news because that's meaningful to, you know, my work and the things that I'm trying to do for those markets. But, you know, I don't get distracted with too much TV and news and politics and all this stuff that really is in large part irrelevant to, you know, what I can do in my life and the things that I can spend my time and energy
on. I think that's a great point about control. Because I do see so many people get caught up in news and, like you said, news and politics. And it's very important to some people. And that's actually part of some people's world and their daily work. Mm-hmm. But I like the distinction you made there about the things you can control are worth paying attention to.
Yeah. I think that people, you know, sort of don't pay nearly as any attention to the things they control. They pay way too much attention to things they can't.
Oh, that's really interesting. Why do you think people do that? Like other side of the fence, the grass is greener kind of thing? Like they want to be looking elsewhere?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, when people can watch news and entertainment and things, it's sort of a distraction from them paying attention to their own lives and, mm-hmm. and the things they don't want to face. Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes we just take the things that we can control for granted, right? Relationships or our work environment or whatever. Like we, you know, a lot of our attention and energy could be put more into the relationships we have with family, friends, significant others, or into the work that we do. But in many cases, we, you know, get distracted with things that we really can't control because maybe the media, you know, makes them more emotional or, you know, everybody else is talking about them. So it's easy to get caught up in it. And I think it's important that we sort of consciously are aware of that and, you know, make decisions that are better for us long term.
Yeah. So on the topic of control, in terms of, you know, what you actually do with your time, what is on your to-do list and your goal list? Do you mm-hmm. have a to-do list? How do you manage sort of your, like your daily time management? What's your approach to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the more I have found that I do well with lists, I try not to make them too granular or overcommitted. I think that certainly folks that, you know, do that, they tend to sort of create stress because they've generated this long list of things that they expected themselves to get done. And so they never feel like they get anything done because mm-hmm. the list is still there forever.
Yeah.
And they take it personally, you know, that they haven't completed that. So I try and have a checklist or a to-do list that's more of a, you know, maybe a weekly time frame or a couple of day time frame so that it's not like, hey, within this, you know, window at the office or whatever, I need to get this done. There's certainly not, you know, situations where that is the case, but I try to be a little more broad about it so that I can feel a sense of accomplishment when I get it done. And I do have deadlines because I do observe that I perform better, as most humans do when they're up against the fence and they have to get things done within a time.
Yeah, it's the vacation principle, right? Like the day before you go on vacation, you get three times as much done as you do any other day of the week, right? Because you know that's a serious cutoff time. You have to stop.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, as an entrepreneur, sometimes you really don't have the deadlines. You have to make them.
Yep.
You know, for yourself. Otherwise, you know, things won't get done. You'll find ways to distract yourself from getting it done.
Yeah. You know, I actually love that as a topic. So it's accountability and deadlines for entrepreneurs are, you know, there's no one telling you can't just push that to-do list to the next day. So what have you seen that has worked for you and for, you know, maybe your employees, coworkers, mm-hmm. people you've coached? What have you seen that works in terms of accountability and deadlines? And then maybe some horror stories. What do you see as being bad habits and tendencies that people have regarding that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, to start with, it's as simple as like, hey, pull up a Google Doc spreadsheet and sort of lay out the things that you expect from yourself, short of, you know, the things that may come up that you can't control. You should have, you know, reasonable windows to get things done. And so that you're creating some accountability for yourself and or, you know, fellow team members and sharing that document with them so that everybody as a team is, you know, on the same page, because, you know, unless you're clearly demonstrating the, you know, timeframes or goals that you're trying to accomplish with yourself and your team, you know, no one really knows. They all have their own assumptions about what you expect from them and all that. And so Now, that is a great place to start, as simple as it is, but it's, you know, the ability to share that document and really get everybody on board. It creates accountability for you now, right? So it's easy for us to, as entrepreneurs, write things down, give ourselves, you know, time frames and all that. But when you have other people that depend on you looking at that and saying, mm-hmm. well, he told me that's when he's going to get it done, then it certainly creates another layer of accountability, you know, for yourself as an entrepreneur as well.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the next step is hire someone to basically secretary, assistant, whatever. Yeah. To make you accountable, effective.
With every person that I've hired sort of in a project manager capacity, the first thing I've told them is that, like, it's your job to keep me accountable to the things I tell you we need to get done, because, you know, I do struggle with that, which is why I'm so passionate about time management. You know, people are a lot of times passionate about the things they struggle the most with. So I've created a lot of systems in order to become really good at that, because innately I was really bad. So is there anything that you put on your do not do list?
Anything. I really think in terms of value, right? What is it that my time can be spent doing? And if there's some way for, you know, me to leverage software or another person to get things done that really are lower value, that, you know, at the end of the day, it's, as I told you, it's about helping others and bringing value to the markets that I'm in, and people, even personally, I really enjoy helping others. So the tasks that I decide to do, they really have to be of value. Otherwise, mm-hmm. on a universal level, the expectations this universe has for each one of us, and we have skills and things that we can bring that help others. If we're not actively looking at the things that we're about to do as tasks ourselves, and looking to see if there are opportunities to have others do those because you have other higher value stuff that you can do that helps others. To me, that's like, it's a big deal for me. It's the no is all about doing things that don't bring real value to a market and, you know, not exploring the opportunity to have someone else execute that stuff so that I can focus on the things that do bring greater value.
Yeah, I love that. So I want to go a little deeper there, because I think you're really on to something that is like a core principle and a perspective of thinking about value and what you're doing with your time. Yeah. So if when you have an activity or a task, or let's say you're choosing between three things to do, you're asking yourself that question, where is my time best spent? Mm-hmm. Do you default to thinking, where am I going to produce the most revenue for my company, or where am I actually going to positively affect the most people? I think they're both good perspectives. You know, it's very noble to always to think that, you know, marketers are always thinking about their customers. But I think marketer's brain, quote unquote, it's very hard to stop thinking about what's going to make my company the most money. So what do you default to, and how do you deal with the two sides to that coin?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that, you know, sort of as a younger entrepreneur, you know, would have always been focused on the money side of things, because I thought that is what brought fulfillment for me as an individual. And certainly businesses need money to sustain value to the marketplace.
Sure.
And
it's your lifeblood, right?
Yeah,
so it is. Without that, the business goes away, and then you can't provide value to anybody.
Exactly. And so that it typically these days, even though, you know, it's coming from a different mindset than I had when in my earlier days as an entrepreneur, but it is focused on revenue and profitability of the company, because I already know that the tasks that I'm actively pursuing, both in business and personally, are bringing massive value to the market. So in order for just to that statement, it's like in order for me to bring more value to a marketplace longer term, I have got to increase the lifeblood of the business. And, you know, the only way to do that is to, you know, generate more cash and profitability for the business so that I can turn around and apply that to bring more value to that market that I'm in. So generally it's going to be based on what is it that I can do that allows the business to grow in order to ultimately bring more value to more folks, because those are more scalable. The value is scalable as opposed to, you know, something that I can do as an individual that, and I certainly endlessly am giving on a personal level to many people out there. I really enjoy it. But on a business level, typically the decisions are going to be made based on short term and long term. How can I improve the lifeblood of the business so I can bring more value to a market?
Got it. Yeah, that's awesome. And to your point right there, I've taken you up on your generosity many times. I think we were speaking a few weeks ago. I had a question about, I don't even recall what it was. I think it was a Facebook question. And, you know, I told you should be sending me to 1-800-Justin.com because I'm racking up the time. So you do
I've got an invoice for
on a person on a personal level provide tons of value. Listen to this. There's a quote. There's a book that I love called The Go-Giver. Have you ever read that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's good. And the first, it's the five, he has something in it called the five laws of stratospheric success. And the very first law is called the law of value. It's written by a man named Bob Berg. And the law of value says your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that.
That is beautiful.
It is such a powerful concept. I actually try to start my day thinking about that,
right?
You know, and it really helps me eliminate, you know, it helps me make that do not do list,
mm-hmm.
right? I would say there's two things that for me in terms of my own time management and, you know, where I focus, like this really had a huge impact on me, that law of value. And then another exercise I did was a Perry Marshall exercise where he has you divide your time into $10 per hour activity, $100 per hour activity, $1,000 per hour activity, and $10,000 per hour activity.
Mm-hmm.
And you brainstorm what activities go in each segment.
Love that, right? Yeah.
For a lot of people, when they first do that, they're like, $10,000, there's no way $10,000 mm-hmm. per hour. But there is. You know, if you're working your offer, working on your unique selling proposition, working on something that monumentally changes the course of your business, you know, big, bold, new ideas, that is absolutely worth that type of money to your business. So if you can play in the $10,000 and the $1,000 per hour column, you'll mm-hmm. learn to outsource or automate all the activities in the $10 and $100 per hour column.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, you know, sort of, you know, breaking it down on the value side, like for many years, I gave away a lot of the value that, you know, I now realize that I, you know, people want to pay me large sums of money for.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, a part of that was fulfillment for me. I enjoyed sharing that knowledge and, you know, but it's also discovery, like it helps you understand what people are willing to pay a lot of money for. So, you know, yeah. In many cases, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs sort of, oh, I'm going to sell you this and I'm going to sell you that and I'm going to sell you this. And it's better to try and find ways to sort of give it away first and understand what is it that they continue to come back and ask you about and, yeah. you know, sort of lean on you as an expert in whatever you bring to the market is actually that $10,000 an hour type of value as opposed to you bring, you know, $1,000 an hour type value product mm-hmm. to the market. You didn't really even know what they wanted. You just thought you did. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people have a really hard time giving away their stuff because they think one day I'm going to package it all up and I'm going to charge mm-hmm. a lot of money for it. And I'm going to, you know, just be wealthy beyond my wildest dreams. But until then, I'm going to keep it all secret.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely walk the walk with giving that away. That reminds me of someone I wanted to address today. If you had listened to the first episode, you know, Justin and I met back in the day when we both were working on some automotive e-commerce websites. And I remember the second or third time we got together. And I thought we were going to have lunch and maybe look at my site for an hour or two. And I think you came over at 11 o'clock. And I think we finished at 1 a.m. Like, it was a serious session. It was great. We got a lot done. But it was grueling, and you earned yourself the nickname Sarge. I remember my dad was actually helping out that day, too. He was in the office, and from that day on, we called you the Sarge. So are you still animal worker like that, or has that shifted? That was about 6 years ago. So is that still part of how you operate?
It isn't. You know, it isn't. You know, I think that there's a time and place for that in every entrepreneur's journey to step into the war room and don't leave the room with whoever you're working with until whatever you're trying to accomplish is done, that kind of stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, essentially that's what we did that day, right? And
yeah, well, that's when that company went from 100 grand a year to 600 grand a year. You
know, yeah, exactly.
Like, literally. That's what it takes. Couple months. So it worked.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think that there is certainly a place for that. I think that, you know, what I've learned, I used to be a workaholic and I've learned that, you know, unfortunately as an entrepreneur, our passion for what we do can be so strong, but, you know, in many cases, we are, you know, harming ourselves and the relationships we have in our lives. And even us on a physical level, like working at that, like that for any, you know, extended period of time can take a massive toll, both mentally and physically and, you know, spiritually mm-hmm. on your life. So you really have to, you know, I had to work hard over the years to find balance, you know, and what I've learned is, you know, really the more that I strike a balance and really focus on doing things for myself, it actually allows me to bring more value to the market. It sort of these days I try and figure out how lazy I can be and still get everything I need done. It's a yeah. weird concept, but it's really about, you know, really slowing down.
It's like complete opposite.
It's crazy. It's hard to break it mentally, yeah. especially as an entrepreneur. But yeah. I found personally that finding balance and striking balance is, but hey, don't, you know me, you know, I'll step in and do a war room session.
Yeah.
I mean, there's for 16 hours straight.
Yeah.
It's always in me. You know?
And I think you're right. There's times for that. But mm-hmm. in general, finding that balance where, you know, also if you, you know, another question I like to ask is, if I only had 2 hours to work today, what would I do? Right. So it's sort of that the same thing you just mentioned. How can I be lazier? Right. And mm-hmm. it's not to say you will only work 2 hours. I mean, occasionally I do, right. but typically I'm plugging away 8-10 hours a day because I love what I do. But yeah. if you ask yourself that question, if I had to compress everything into 2 hours, there's probably 6 hours of fluff I could cut off. And I would actually get most of my key initiatives taken care of in those 2 hours. So I think just as a perspective, asking yourself, how can I do less and achieve more? You know, I think it's the difference between being efficient versus being effective, right?
Yeah. And I think it allows you to sort of trim away those things that you thought were bringing value that really, at the end of the day, were, you know, nominal value creators.
Mm-hmm.
If you really set that sort of window of like, what are the handful of things that I need to get done today that to really, you know, drive forward whatever I'm working on? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, this has been really fascinating. What do you think, looking back on your past 10, 15, 20 years doing this, what do you think it is the critical few things that really acted as a catalyst for you?
You know, you sort of talked about it a little bit or danced around it, but, you know, for me, as an entrepreneur, I mean, you know, I think it's saying no, because as an entrepreneur, you know, we all have shiny object syndrome and we can't stop looking at the next best thing that, you know, is going to create value and do things great in this world. And so I think, you know, it's really about, and what happens is when you start to gain, you know, what we believe is success, or, you know, we start sort of adding value to a market, people come to you and say, I want you to do this, and I want to team with you to do that, and I want to do all these things with you because you're helping people and you have what it takes to get it done. And we want you, you know. And so there's a lot of opportunity that comes as you gain progress as an entrepreneur and whatever you're doing. And I think that I've made the mistakes where I've taken on too much and had too much on my plate. I mean, certainly now I have multiple business entities that I'm operating. I already have a lot on my plate, but I've been doing this for decades. So I'm pretty good at managing it. You know, it's hard for a lot of folks to understand or believe, but I used to have more on my plate when I was doing this stuff. And I would, you know, basically do everything half-assed because you can't really, you know, there's only so much attention and energy that you can put on any given project. And so you end up with a bunch of stuff that really never got where you anticipated it would because you weren't willing to say no, you know. And I'm a giver, so I tend to, you know, my nature is to say yes, but I've learned that people respect you more when you say no, and you'll respect and love yourself more if you say no also.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me.
That's good. Okay. So two things I want to point out there. One, saying no is something you actually have to learn how to do, I think. You know, especially for certain people, like I know myself, I'm a people pleaser. I like, you know, be the crowd favorite. So growing up, I thought in order to do that, you just said yes to everybody, just, you know, did whatever anyone asked of you. How do you say no? Like in a very specific way, like how do you actually say no when someone says, hey, Justin, can you help me out with this? I got a neat project. Can I, or the typical question, can I pick your brain about this?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, there's no shortage of folks that pick my brain and I give lots of that. But I think it's really about just telling them the truth, saying, you know, I'd love to work on this project. I'd love to help you. I think what you're doing is great. Unfortunately, you know, I just don't have the bandwidth and I've got these other projects that are my babies and I can't, you know, distract myself with, you know, from those projects to help you. Unfortunately, you know, it's just really about being open and honest about the fact that as much as you could help them, you know, you don't see that there's a way for you to do that within the things that you're working on right now. In some cases, I'm able to, you know, there's some things that we're working on now with ThinkSumo and coaching programs and, you know, finding ways to still be able to scale, but help people on a much closer higher value way so that they can learn how to use Facebook advertising, whatever. And you have to explore that. If enough people come to you and say, I want to hand you my money, can we figure out a way to do that? Yeah. You know, sometimes you need to adjust your business or what you're doing.
You so need that to say
you can
yes.
bring more value and say yes. You know, right? And
so,
I like that.
Looking for opportunities to say yes is good as well.
Yeah. And as you're saying no, you're clearly looking for those opportunities. That's a big one too, I think, in general with, you know, whether you're a young entrepreneur or transitioning from corporate to trying to run your own businesses, you have got to have your mind open to opportunities. They're all around us, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. so you have to have an open mind to that. And even if it's a conversation with somebody in the line at the restaurant, you just have to have a mindset to see opportunities and see where, you know, there are problems to be solved in this world, because, you know, each of us have a lot of good stuff to bring to others. And I think too many of us, you know, don't clearly see opportunities that are right in front of us sometimes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. You mentioned something earlier about giving away your best stuff for free and then learning that that is something they would pay for. I have found in the past when I've just given, oftentimes it's the advice isn't taken as seriously as when you sure. charge for it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you give the same piece of advice away for free or you charge someone $1,000 for that advice, very different mm-hmm. outcome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what's your perspective on that? And what have you seen in your own career?
I would completely agree. I think that, you know, I would say that a lot of my giving, you know, at the end of the day, we are selfish beings, right? So, I mean, I think a lot of my giving is selfish in that, one, I feel good because I've helped someone else, but I also, you know, like we talked about, it's like I'm actively a student of life and I'm trying to do discovery to find out, are these, you know, the folks that come to me and ask me for Facebook help or whatever, like, they're asking the same stuff. So obviously mm-hmm. there's thousands upon thousands of other people that likely are going to ask those same questions. And I'm not going to know that unless I actively give the knowledge that I have. And so I think it's to that individual, you know, take the information and run with it. And most of them do. And most of the stuff that I tell them and teach them isn't very difficult to execute on. It's really just, they just don't, you know, can intimidate. Facebook can be very intimidating, and the ins and outs are what, you know, can be a little confusing. But once you clear that up, you know, in my case anyway, the stuff that I'm talking about with others tends to get executed on. But I totally agree. I mean, even for myself, the stuff that I've gotten through the years that, you know, a friend gave me a program or whatever, this is great. I mean, anytime that I spent $1,000 on something, I certainly
pay a lot more attention.
Yeah, I consumed it and and it changed my life, you know.
Yeah.
And so I know it's, you know, it's just human nature to, you know, use dollars to apply value so that you pay attention to it, right? It's like putting skin in the game. It's like, yeah, you can dance around and until you put money on the table, it really doesn't, you know, hold true for you.
Yeah, definitely. I like that. Well, there's been some really good stuff here. So let me just do a quick recap here. Talked about being appreciative in your mornings. I really like that. And really just position yourself as helping people and being there to provide value. Talked about consuming and being a sponge and balancing, you know, overload of information with actually taking on things in different phases and being a student of life and then actually taking action on those things, implementing those in your life and in your business. Talked a little bit about distraction and accountability and deadlines and forcing yourself to have those within your business. Even if you run the show and you are, you know, your own accountability partner and no one to report to, but having that accountability and those deadlines is critically important to making progress there. And then we touched on, again, the value is like, where is your time best spent, both to make money for your business so you can continue to provide great products to your marketplace, and then also where is your time best spent so you can have the most impact on your customers and your clients and your network.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great stuff. So there's a lot there. If you could recommend to someone listening one thing, sometimes I ask what's the one thing they could do, but today I want to ask it a little differently. So if someone had 1 hour per day to dedicate to sort of improving their life based on the principles and strategies that we just went over, what would you recommend they do during that 1 hour per day?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, what I've learned in my journey is certainly, you know, finding books that help you understand yourself and life and, you know, learning to love yourself is really at the core of that. You know, within that hour, I think there's some specific books that I would recommend that can really help folks sort of achieve that for themselves.
Let's hear them. Because I know you're a voracious learner. So what is that?
Well, I mean, I think the first one as an entrepreneur, if you haven't read it already, or even if you have, reread it, is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Yeah, it's great.
Phenomenal book. And, you know, it's both on a personal level and a business level. I think that's a great foundation for some of the other two books. Also, The Four Agreements. You know, again, I'm telling you, I've consumed a ton of self-help stuff, and much of it's really good and inspiring, but it's difficult to sort of latch onto and create habit around. There's a lot of moving parts to it and things you have to do. With the Four Agreements, it really helps sort of understand how to be happy in your life and what the core things that, you know, you need to focus on as an individual to be happy. So The Four Agreements is a huge one that I certainly recommend that everyone read. And then lastly, The Five Love Languages, which is, you know, really about understanding how we feel loved as individuals. And when you can understand that for yourself and then also sort of significant others, family members, friends, it really is amazing how you can do some of the smallest things to make others feel loved. And when you do that, you know, you just create another layer of value and attraction and just putting out good energy into this world. It's really amazing.
I love that book as well. And I think what is really interesting about that book is it's very akin to learning to be a good marketer, right? You have to learn to speak the language of the person you're talking to, not the language that you know and are familiar with. So there's such great lessons in there, both for, like you said, with relationships, personal communication, but also just from a business perspective, just the mindset that that book covers is learn to speak in a way that will actually get through to your audience, whether that's your spouse or your Facebook page.
I love
the fact that there's so much crossover from marketing to personal development.
Sure.
And, you know, sometimes I feel bad for people that aren't in the marketing world and they think it's all about, they think marketing is advertising.
Right.
But marketing is about understanding people. You know, it's really about understanding people and creating things. And I just love that. I love that about this profession that we get to live in and work in and play in. So Justin, this is fantastic stuff. Lots of notes here. I'm going to put all these notes in the show notes, links to all the books, links to Sync Sumo, the coupon code Todd20 for the 20% off on any services. And thanks for taking the time to teach and to share, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. It's been great.
All right, fantastic. Well, have a great one, and see you online.
All right, thanks, Todd.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening today. Before you go, I want to leave you with three important questions designed to get you results from what you just heard. Number one, what one lesson did you just learn that you can take action on? Two, what single action can you commit to doing in the next 24 hours to integrate this skill, habit, or mindset into your daily life? And three, what can you do to ensure you will actually take this action? Speed of implementation is the key to success, and you've got to take action on what you just learned. Perhaps you need to put a reminder in your calendar, put a post-it on your computer screen, or talk to an accountability partner to check in to make sure you did this. Whatever you do, make sure you take action on the one key thing you learned from this episode to make sure you start seeing results. You deserve the success and peace of mind that comes from building a profitable and influential business that truly matters. You deserve it, your family deserves it, the world deserves the best business, products, and services you have to offer. The thing is, sometimes it's hard to take action on your own, which is exactly why we've created the Luminary Business Community at luminarybusiness.com. If you want to be part of this thriving community of entrepreneurs and executives committed to building profitable and influential businesses, head over there and sign up for our waiting list. As a member, you will get training, checklists, cheat sheets to grow your business fast. You'll get access to exclusive in-person events and meetups. You'll get expert coaching from me and other experts in the group and feedback when you need it most. Fourth, you'll have access to a supportive community of like-minded entrepreneurs. Finally, if you liked what you heard on the show, please subscribe to the podcast, write a review on iTunes, or share a link to this episode with one of your friends. It will help them learn and will also spark conversations that could potentially lead to new business for you, which is what this entire show is about. Thanks for listening, and make it a great one.